back in the boat of knowledge with the next iteration of Behind the Beard, WNC, a podcast where a group of friends get together and we banter about all sorts of things, but it always winds up being high school football. And gentlemen, how was the weekend this weekend? Did you guys do anything fun?
I had a fantastic weekend. I think I did a lot of nothing, but it was great. We made some homemade pizzas.
Nice.
Starting from scratch with the dough and everything. Fantastic.
Wow. That sounds yummy.
So now we got Chef Boyardee
hooked on the phonics podcast lately there, Mike.
Well, yeah. You can't do math or talk.
Yeah.
Neither one. I was in Anderson, Indiana for a race 400 lap, Redbud 400. Qualified second, finished fourth, got a lap down. Restart violation, insane stuff. 173 degrees. But it was a good weekend.
Was there any brawling going on in the
No brawling post race. Everybody was too worn out. Three drivers went to the ambulance. Two were tired. My driver, who's 16, last restart, I'm like, all right, you got to focus in here. We got to go. And he's like, oh, la, 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 la. I'm like, are you okay? I could tell in his voice he was done. He was done mentally with 150 laps to go. So it's just that hot.
Wow.
So we went to – we got – Lane Riggs got us passes to the truck race at RP. He won the race after we got there. I got a Carson a Clue, which is one of his nicotine pouches. So,
nice. Okay. I watched – did you guys see any of the ESPN coverage of the NFL kind of starting things up?
A little bit, yeah.
That was nice.
Yeah, that was nice.
I got to watch a little bit of my Commanders. Season.
We're not ready for football yet.
I'm ready for football.
Mike, race season for you is like 10 months a year.
Yeah.
No, actually it's 12. I race December, January, February, March, April, May, June, July.
And then you want to talk about football. Yeah. It's good times.
I love talking about football because I race all year. We got to welcome Coach Dinwiddie to the podcast.
We got we're going to continue on in the coaches series, guys, and we're very blessed. We have the opportunity to talk again with Jason J.D. Dinwiddie. He's the head football coach at T.C. Robertson High School, and that's a position he's had since 2016. He is in his 10th season with the Rams as of 2025, coming off a 4-5 season in 2024. His coaching philosophy emphasizes a physical run-heavy offense, notably the spread style. Dinwiddie is known for his gritty approach with a team motto of climbing the mountain and has cultivated a roster with multi-sport athletes. Before T.C. Robertson, Dinwiddie served as head coach at North Henderson High School for four seasons. That was 2012 to 2015, where he turned around the struggling program, achieving a 7-5 record in his final year, and that was the school's first winning season since 2000. He works with the coaching staff, including assistants like Orlando Adwaters, Randy Adkins, and Austin Cook, as well as Jason Stanley, Artis Gilmore, and John Stokes. His teams are noted for their discipline and physicality with a focus on developing players who excel in multiple sports. Welcome, Coach Dinwiddie. Thanks for taking the time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
This was so fun last year. Mike and Lewis and I commented often just how much we enjoyed our conversation last year. So I've been looking forward to catching up again and find out what's been
Absolutely.
Going on.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we're, getting there. This will be year 29 for me.
Golly.
Yeah, I know.
29.
I just wish my teaching years matched my coaching years because I started coaching. Yeah. I started coaching a year after I got out of high school. I went to the military and to the Navy Reserves and didn't end up playing college football. So I decided I was going to coach, and I started coaching in 1997. I think I was a sophomore in college. And so I coached for 4 years while I was finishing college, and then I started my teaching career in 2001.
Now, were you coaching high school then?
Yes. I coached at my alma mater, Fairland High School in little Proctorville, Ohio, southern Ohio town. And I coached there for 4 years for my old head coach.
That's awesome.
That's how I got my start, and then I moved to Raleigh from there and started my career at Wakefield High School in 2001.
I believe we were talking to Hendersonville last week, and he has a lot of ex-players that coach for him. Mm. For you, being a player that eventually coached with your head coach, how big of a change was that? Because you get to see some stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's the behind the scenes. You know, as a player, you know, you're in the locker room with your teammates. You don't know all the work your coaches do behind the scenes.
For sure.
And all the headaches sometimes us players would provide. So you get the behind the scenes look at that. But it was such a gratifying experience to be able to do that. And mostly because he had asked me to do it. you know, I wasn't sure I was going to be a coach. I thought I was going to be a physical therapist. And after my first year in college, and I saw him in the summer somewhere, and he said, would you be interested in coaching our offensive line? You know, I played offensive line. I was a pretty good one. And I said, absolutely. And the rest is history.
That's awesome.
It was very gratifying. I mean, it was a blessing to do that, because I can't imagine myself doing anything else at this point in time.
Well, I mean, you could be the trainer right now.
I wouldn't want to do that.
Right? Right? Yeah, I think you made a good choice.
I did, yes.
Well, yeah, obviously last year with the storm messing everything up and everything, how did you guys kind of facilitate through that last year and kind of share your experiences with that?
Yeah, I mean, it was so weird, because, you know, you're rolling in the season, we're four games in, and, you know, Mother Nature wants to take another course.
And you were 3-1 at that point.
Yeah.
We lost a tough opener against Watauga. I think it was 14-0, and they had a really good team, and you know, we were breaking in a new quarterback in our flex bone, and, you know, that week after that loss, we really just kind of got after it, and you know, we won 3 in a row pretty convincingly, and then the hurricane hit, and then we're out of contact with our kids for 10 days, and, you know, everybody's out of power. Nobody can do anything. Nobody can talk to anybody, so I tried to make as many home visits as I could to the houses I could get to. I would drive down to my wife and I would drive down into Georgia, or even all the way to Columbia, because they had lost power in those areas. So we were going to Sam's Club, getting cases of water and Gatorade and snacks and things, and bringing them back up here to try to facilitate, you know, making sure our kids had some things for the ones that we could be in touch with. And, you know, we ended up, we sent my two kids that still live with us. My oldest was at college. We took them to Savannah to my sister-in-law's, and so they wouldn't have to be dealing with all that stuff. And my wife and I went and stayed for about a week down in Hart County, Georgia. Fortunately, my sister, they have a lake house down there in Hart County, Georgia, down in Hartwell. And we stayed there a week, took our dogs down. And
your golf cart, right?
We did not take the golf cart. You know, it's an interesting story, because, you know, when you're in the middle of the season, all you want to be around is football. So we drove into downtown Hartwell, Georgia there, and Hart County High School's right there. And I don't know if any of y'all have ever been there. But I pulled up. It was a Monday, and I pulled up, and they were practicing. I'm just standing there watching practice, and their head coach comes over to me. He probably thinks, who's this weirdo watching practice? So I explained the story to him and told him about everything, and basically made me like a guest coach for the week.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, you know, let me hang around with them, you know, speak to the team and do some things. And so my wife bought a Hart County football T-shirt. We went to the ball game on Friday. You know, we were still back and forth trying to help our kids here. So it was a way to stay connected and, you know, not just go absolutely crazy wondering if we were going to get a chance to finish our season or not.
You all were in a unique spot. Well, Mike alluded to it a second ago. You all were, from what I remember of that, you all were 3-1. You had that tough loss to Watauga, but it was building up. I mean, you could feel the atmosphere with Reynolds, with you guys, with Asheville and stuff, and
guys,
how that was going to go.
You guys beat East Rutherford, who had a fantastic season last year. Yeah. You guys are rolling.
Yeah, we were rolling. I mean, we played Smoky Mountain. I think, you know, we handled them pretty well, which was surprising, because Smoky's, you know, normally pretty competitive. And, you know, we handled them better than I thought we would. And so coming into that, I think we were going to play, I think North Buncombe was that first conference game. And, you know, we felt, you know, we were going to get a good conference game to kind of get it rolling and then, you know, get into the Irwins and the Ashevilles and that type of thing. And our first game back from it, we played Irwin, and it was a really good ball game. I think it was 27-21.
It was a great game.
And, yeah.
Some of us were here.
Yeah. And so, you know, I felt like, well, okay, well, we still have this. And then we just didn't, it just never picked back up. And it was, that was tough. That was hard to swallow, because we had a pretty good group of seniors, and We just never picked up that momentum that we had lost in that, the 2 weeks previous to that. So. Yeah,
you guys lose to Irwin. Unfortunately, you lose to Reynolds. You beat Robbinsville.
Yes.
And then lose to Asheville and then Sun Valley in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, Sun Valley, Sun Valley had a really good team.
They were always.
They were really athletic. And, the one thing that I liked about our offensive scheme the last few years is it kind of equalizes the playing field when you go play some of those teams in Charlotte that have all the athletes and things, and they see the spread every week. Then all of a sudden you get them in a phone booth, and it's like, we're going to do this, this, and this, and it makes it difficult. So we played them really tough, but it wasn't enough. And it was just kind of I can't put my thumb on it. It just wasn't what it was before Hurricane Helene came in and destroyed so much. And look –
it's tough on it. It was tough on everybody.
I'm not going to sit here. I know how hard it was on everybody, and especially the Fairview community. And you go to Swannanoa. I mean, everybody was affected in so many ways. So I was just honestly, as upsetting it was to not finish on that streak, I was just happy that our kids were able to finish their season.
Amen. For sure.
That was the biggest blessing out of all of it. Wins and losses to the side. Just the fact that they still got to finish, our seniors got to finish their senior season and got to make something out of what seemed like nothing there for a long time.
Yeah, because those seniors had COVID.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a hurricane.
Yeah. It was.
It's tough. I had a senior, so yeah. I mean, it was tough.
Yeah.
So did Lewis.
Yep.
So we at the end of the day, wins and loss and all that thing. I felt really blessed to be able to coach those kids, and I'm sure the majority of the coaches around felt the same way, to be able to have the blessing to get out there and finish our season and do those things. So, it was a tough time.
Now you got this season.
Yeah.
It's a whole new chapter.
Yeah.
So set it up. You've had spring ball and stuff in the summer workouts. Paint the picture.
Well, the pictures, I mean, it's a blank canvas, really. When we graduated quite a few kids, but we've got a good core cast coming back. We're going to have a lot of kids that are going to be playing in not new positions, but are going to be inexperienced, but they're very capable. We've worked really hard in the weight room. Our kids like the weight room, and we had a productive spring. I think we did 8 practices. We don't do the 10. We do the 8, and our kids, we got to install some things. I'm giving up the play calling duties for the first time in a long time. And so I've got 2 coaches that are going to handle that, Coach Cook and Coach Stanley. And I'm just going to be the dude out there making sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to do, I guess. But I haven't done that. As long as I've been a head coach, I've either been a coordinator on the defensive side or the offensive side. My entire head coaching career in that 17 seasons.
Is there a chance halfway through the first game you're grabbing the headset?
I'm going to have the headset, but I'm going to probably have to put it on mute.
So you got a quarterback coming back, but a whole new offense this year. Not whole new. You guys ran the spread a few years ago.
Yeah.
You're leaving the triple option going to the spread. Is that correct?
Yeah, I lost a little sleep over that because, my entire head coaching career, I've been in the spread since 2008. And, I've been fortunate to coach some really good players. And, when I was in Raleigh, I had a quarterback that threw for 12,200 yards in his career. And we threw the ball 40 times a game. So I love the spread. The spread does a lot, but – I got where I think I'm more of a flex bone guy now.
good man.
I like the physical style of it. I like the kind of the chess match it is, and I like it from the standpoint that it's hard to prepare for.
Yes, so, there's only a couple schools around here that have it.
Yeah,
Watauga,
which we play, and South Point, which we play this year. So
had fantastic records last year.
Back to back, and I'm fine with that. I mean, it's hard, and from talking to a lot of the other coaches around, it's hard for some of us to get games. So we have to call around and figure it out. But
well, that's a question we've had for other coaches. How many no's did you hear this year?
Probably 60.
Holy
cow.
Yep.
We called around everywhere. But, you know, for some people, it wasn't that they didn't want to play us. It was, well, our folks won't let us travel that far. And well, that so, you know, we've always played Watauga. Coach Hobick, their head coach, and I, we go a long way back. We've known each other since 2004 when he was at Fuke Wave Arena in South Raleigh area, and I was at Wakefield. So I've known him. He's one of my closest friends in coaching. So we're always going to play Watauga. But, you know, we picked up Hunter Huss week one, which I think is a good opener for us. And then I think Watauga's week two, we follow that with South Point, which is home, and then Freedom and South Caldwell. And then we have an open date. So,
and that's the open date for a lot of MAC teams.
It is. It is because, you know, we're even now.
Other than Cord, I think he plays somebody. Watauga.
Yeah, I think he plays Watauga. So it's a good challenging schedule. But you know, it's also there's some, you know, some opportunities to really kind of find out about yourself.
Yeah, so Huss 4-6 last year, Watauga 11-1, South Point 9-2, Freedom 6-5, and South Caldwell 4-6. That's a 34-20 non-conference schedule.
Yeah, so
that's a pretty good non-conference schedule.
It is, but it's not an outrageous type thing, you know. It's not like we're not playing Weddington, and you know, I think it's a manageable schedule for us. And again, I'm one of these coaches that, you know, you can schedule 4 or 5, you know, wins, but what do you learn about yourself?
Right.
You know, and we play in a tough conference. You know, when you're playing Irwin and Asheville and Reynolds every year, you know, they also play some tough non-conference, so we got to get ourselves ready for that part of it too.
And the other part about your conference schedule is you got Asheville, and then you got North Bunkman Inca, and then you load back up Irwin Reynolds.
Yeah.
So you got a little break. Some of those guys have the big three in a row. Thoughts on the conference realignment? You, Reynolds, Asheville, and the same. I mean, that's how it should be, right? I mean,
absolutely.
They've been the big three forever.
Yeah, that for sure.
Yeah, it has to be.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's important. I mean, you know, it fits. You know, we do the Buncombe County Jamboree, which is here this year. And, you know, the four of us, Asheville, us, and Reynolds, and Irwin, get together and play four teams from outside the conference. So it's a nice showcase because, you know, every week when we're playing each other, I mean, it's a battle.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a rivalry for everybody. All those games are rivalry games. You know, so.
So one thing, I mean, 60 no's. Was there ever a moment you thought about calling South Arden, West Asheville? Trying to get one of them on the schedule? I mean, they're right here.
No.
Who are you talking? No. Oh, no. Okay. He said no.
No.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, sure, sure. Yeah.
You've got, obviously, players coming back. Why don't you set the stage? What are you looking at with your returning players?
Well, so before I got off track, you know,
I
probably answered some questions that were going to be asked later, but, you know, sometimes I get on a roll. We're actually, you know, our quarterback last year, LaRon Mills, we're moving him more to a wide receiver, and he's a heck of a DB. He's a heck of a corner, safety. He can play both for us. He's a heck of an athlete. But with our style of play, we felt we're going to try to go with a more traditional quarterback. So I've got two that are kind of battling out right now. One's going to be a senior, and he was my backup quarterback last year, Sky Whiteside. He's a great kid. Doesn't make a lot of mistakes. And then we got a sophomore that we're looking at, Karad Harris, that's a tremendous athlete, tremendous arm. He's a little undersized, but he lacks a little bit of experience, but we're going to have a little battle there between those two.
And that's good.
It's very good because, you know, competition, I think competition brings out the best in everybody, so hopefully the best in everybody. If it doesn't, then you're not going to be the guy.
That's right. Someone once told me iron sharpens iron. Where did I hear that?
It's in the Bible.
Yeah. Well, you know, your former offense that you're running, obviously, you already brought it up, the physicality of it. You've got to have a solid front five to obviously do something like that. How's your front five looking this year?
Yeah, we return, I think, four starters off of our offensive line, which we knew coming into the offseason, if we were going to make it kind of a change in scheme, that we could be able to lean on those guys a little bit. You know, my center's coming back, my right tackle's coming back, my left guard, and I think my left tackle's coming back. So
that's pretty good.
Yeah, we're pretty comfortable with those guys, and you know, the defensive line will also I think be a more experienced bunch. You know, we're going to be brand new in the back end, except for LaRon. We're going to be probably starting two sophomores and probably a junior back there. And then our two middle linebackers are going to be juniors. One is my son, who's, you know, he's hit his growth spurt, and he's starting to grow like my oldest did a couple years ago, who started as a, you know, 5'6" sophomore, and now he's 6'2", 225, you know.
I mean, 5'6" is a respectable height.
Well, you are 5'6". Well,
not when you're a quarterback. But, no, we like our kids. You know, it's a good group. They work hard. They show up. You know, at the end of the day, it's hard to say what we're going to be, because you really don't know till the bullets start flying. And, you know, we can go 7-on-7 and do all that. We don't do a lot of 7-on-7s. We do a lot of inter-squad 7-on-7 stuff. We, you know, we did one with Hendersonville and Chase back in July, early July, and then we're doing the FCA 7-on-7 with West Henderson, Shelby, and I think RS Central tomorrow. But, you know, we're not going to inundate them with 7-on-7 because it's good to get out there and compete, but it's not real football.
Right. You know? Some people call it basketball on grass.
That is what one coach said.
Yeah, I don't even know if we'd call it that.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I'm an old offensive lineman, an old offensive line coach. I've spent the first 12 years of my career where I was an offensive line coach. And if it doesn't involve those guys, then you can't really call it football.
Right.
Sure. Amen. Sure. Amen.
And the three of us, you know.
We're all linemen.
We're parents of offensive linemen. We were 7-on-7?
Yeah.
Come on.
Those are my guys. I mean, you know, like I tell our kids, you know, everybody looks pretty when they're out there with a helmet on, you know, throwing a football and do all that. But you know, at the end of the day, you know, you couldn't throw that ball to him on a Friday night without those five guys in front of you.
Right, so. Right.
Well, on the other side of the ball, obviously, Bohannon, he's great. Yeah. Lost graduation. Those are tough shoes to fill.
They are, and, you know, my son, he played a lot. He came in and played, you know, we had one of our seniors get hurt last year for the McDowell game, and my son came in and started as a sophomore and did a really great job for us. And he's opposite of my oldest son. He's a defensive kid. He wants to play defense, and so he's going to step in. I told him he's got some big shoes to fill. I said, but, you know, you got to be you. You can't be him. You got to be you and go play ball. And you know, he's smart and tough and physical. So, you know, hopefully that'll pan out for us.
So we've talked about the coaches. A lot of kids transferring around, even within Buncombe County. You got any transfers coming in that are going to help you? Did you lose any that are going to hurt you? What you got going on over here?
No, we've actually been fortunate since I've been here. I mean, we've lost one or two throughout the years that I think could really help us. But you know, I feel like our kids tend to want to stay with us, and you know, I don't know if that's because of me. I mean, I think we have a really healthy, tough culture, but you know what, we try to take care of our kids, and we want them to stay around and be coached. You know, we coach them hard, we have high expectations, and you know, our kids tend to like that. But we've been fortunate. I mean, we've had a couple move-ins, you know, from out of state, which you're going to get every year. But we haven't lost anybody that I think is going to that would help us, you know, be successful.
So your coaching staff this year, we talked about it briefly. Did you get any adds or losses?
No, I actually got two subtractions. You know, I had a young kid that helped coach our linebackers last year. He got engaged, and his wife got a pretty good job at First Baptist Hospital in Winston-Salem. So he
can't get him to commute?
No. So he's down there. He actually landed him a coaching job at North Davidson High School, which we were happy for. He was a really good young coach. And then one of my coaches, Philip Bohannon, he went to the dark side and went into administration. So he's going to be an AP at North Buncombe High School this year.
Awesome.
And, you know, the problem is with, you know, we're not getting a lot of positions to hire in, so – 7 total for us, and it's okay. I've been there before.
After last week's interview with Hendersonville, pretty much his whole staff went to Hendersonville. How many people do you have on your staff that went to TC?
I've got Artis Gilmore and Randy Atkins. Both played at TC before I got here back in the mid-2000s.
I mean, I found that fascinating last week.
Yeah.
You know, even at Owen, I think there's like one dude on our staff that's, you know, went to Owen.
Yeah. It's important, I mean, you know, to have those guys. And, you know, the one thing I've, you know, in 10 years being at T.C. Robertson is – it's a different deal compared to a lot of places.
Sure.
You know, it's there's not a centralized place. T.C. Robertson is the centralized location. You know, it's different than when you go out to Irwin, you got Lester. And then you go to Asheville, you got Asheville. You go to, you know, Inca, you got Candler. You go to Reynolds, you got Fairview. It's just South Asheville. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit more of a melting pot where you get a lot more. It's very affluent. But there's a lot of moving and moving in and moving out.
Sure.
Especially when people graduate and things, they go on. And a lot of them don't come back. So that's been a little bit of a challenge. But, you know, we're happy that we've got two. And, you know, we would welcome anybody else that wanted to come. But, again, you know, people got to eat. And when there aren't any teaching jobs and, you know, if you're going to be a teacher and a coach – got to have a teaching job.
I mean, plus trying to find a way to pay for $400,000 apartment.
You tell me about it.
It's crazy.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
South Asheville, not an inexpensive place to live.
Right. Well, is any place in Asheville inexpensive anymore? I mean, really, when you think about it, I mean, you're talking, you know, two-bedroom apartments renting for $2,400 a month. What are we doing?
Mm. I mean, Fairview's not that bad because nobody wants to be there, but.
Fantastic.
There's always got to be the one guy.
Indeed, yeah, yeah. Indeed. Well, you know, we've already painted this picture a little bit too. The four schools: Irwin, you guys, Asheville, Reynolds. Obviously, all of those teams. You know, Irwin, they lost their front line. You know, pretty much to graduation. You've had some turnover. Obviously, Reynolds did too. What is this looking like between you four this year?
I tell you what, I think this has been the hardest year to kind of predict anything.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I think that's a good thing. You know, It's hard to tell. I don't know. I wouldn't even know where to begin. I mean, I'm not going to say us. I'm not going to say anybody specifically. I think everybody's got to prove themselves because a lot of people are breaking in, a lot of new people.
Yeah.
And, you know, Asheville's going to be young. They graduated some really good players. Irwin graduated. That offensive line was really good. Now they got the quarterback come back who's really good.
Got to have time to throw it.
Yeah, you do. You do. And, you know, I mean, Reynolds losing Max Guess. I mean, Max Guess is a generational-type player. He's a great kid, great player.
He's been on varsity for, what, 8 years?
It seems like it. It seems like we had to prepare for him for 10 years all the time I've been here.
Also, they lost the best quarterback in Western North Carolina's ever seen
last year. Lewis.
Right?
Lewis. Oh, Lewis.
I'll stay away from that.
That was a good decision, Coach. Good decision. Oh.
Agony.
Yes, the conference is wide open this year.
I think it is. And like I say, I think a lot of it's going to determine on, you know, with our non-conference, we're going to stay healthy. You know, we're going to gain the type of the necessary experience we need to play in those tough games. So we'll see.
The new structure that the whole state went through last year, I think we've been asking all the coaches this a little bit too, but now that we've got this eight-division thing, what are the odds a mountain team could come down there and get a state title?
I mean, here's the deal. We did eight divisions a long time ago.
Yep. Yes, yes.
Four.
When we subdivided, yep. I don't know why, you know, we act like this is such a magnificent, brand new thing.
Well, now it's –
because all the other sports complain.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, but, you know, let's talk about who's the cash cow, man. I mean, it's football.
Absolutely.
It is.
And in every school.
At every school. And so, unless you don't have it, I guess it's not. But there's a lot of schools that don't. But, you know, we did it a long time ago, and I thought it worked fine. And, to answer your question officially, I think it does give us a better opportunity to play deeper consistently. You know, for us, like the last couple of years, I mean, you know, we're playing Reagan High School out of Winston-Salem. We're playing Charlotte Catholic. Then you got to turn around, you win that game, you go play Weddington. You know, and
everybody loves Weddington.
I mean, they do a great job, but it's you know, we're sitting here with 1,450 kids.
Yeah. You're down 1,000 at least.
Yep. You know what I'm saying? So it's not about – I don't mind to compete with those people. But when it means it could be the end of your season, that's a big deal. You know, we sit up there and we tell our kids every year, you know, your ultimate goal, obviously, is to win a state championship.
Absolutely.
And play Mallard Creek, Independence, and Weddington back to back to back in order to do so. Maybe one game we can sneak in there, but having to do that back to back to back against guys that have 1,000 more kids than you every week it's not very realistic.
It's more realistic that you can make a bigger run in these split conferences.
Yes.
You're in 5A, is that right?
Six.
So you and Reynolds and Asheville in six, instead of having to play the big schools.
Yeah.
You know, 2,500, 3,000 kids.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it's a more level playing field for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, and I tell people all the time, you know, I spent 12 years on the eastern side of the state in Raleigh area, and, you know, those are all big schools. They're all in the 8A right now, but, you know, it's like I tell them, I'm like, you know, I coached in the eastern side of the state, and I think we mentioned this last year. I think some of the best coaches in the state of North Carolina are western North Carolina.
Yes.
Because we have to try to do more with less on a year-to-year basis.
For sure.
You know, we don't get to just – we can't count on a class of 30 coming in every year and having 18 ballers that you just put a helmet on and say, hey, let's go get them.
Yeah.
You know, here we have to be very structured. We have to be very disciplined. We have to do things in a very methodical way in order for us to be able to compete at that level. And that's why I think it's so difficult. Week in and week out, when we play teams in the mountains and in our conference, there aren't many cupcakes as far as everybody's going to be well prepared, everybody's going to be well coached, and, you know, it's, you know, sometimes which way does the ball bounce? And it's tough.
And the other piece of that is your ones can probably compete with anybody's ones.
For a while.
Yeah, it's when they roll in the twos and threes and the fours and they're just as good as your ones.
And they're fresh.
They're fresh. They've been hanging out on the sideline. They're ready to go.
Well, and for us, you know, when I was at Wakefield, you know, we had 70 kids on our varsity roster. We had 70 kids on our JV roster. You know, I had a defensive staff, an offensive staff. And I could take those 70 kids and say, okay, you 35 are playing offense. You 35 are playing defense.
You said you had 70 on each side of the ball?
70 varsity kids and
35 70. On each side.
Okay.
But, you know.
Still, that's crazy for us.
That's what I'm saying. You know, so when you're going, when Mallard Creek rolls up here and they're dressing out 100 kids.
Yeah.
You know, that's great for them. You know, that's great. I've been there and done that. It's awesome to not have to worry about numbers and things like that. But when you can platoon those kids and you got a two deep, you know, basically two deep of ones playing defensive line, you got two deep of ones playing offensive line, it's different than, you know, us having one deep.
Yes.
And they're playing both sides of the ball.
Yes.
Yeah.
How many of your kids playing both ways?
Actually, this year we'll be better than that than we have been. We're going to be in a position where I think we're maybe going to have two or three kids total that play both sides of the ball consistently.
That's good.
Which will be good for us, which we haven't had in a while.
Going back to your last statement, through the 2000s when Owen actually made the playoffs and stuff, I remember watching in Shelby, you know, like you come out of the tunnel, you go to your sideline, you stop at the pylon.
Yeah.
When their first kid hit the pylon, they were still coming out of the tunnel.
Yeah.
They had like over 100 kids. We're sitting over there with like 30.
Yeah.
It's impossible. I mean.
Yeah, and you know, and there are those programs, even though Shelby's a smaller school, but, you know, football is such a fabric of that community. And
Cleveland County, for sure.
For sure. They've earned that. I mean, they've put out those.
For sure.
But, you know, for us, we just don't have the population base, you know, and we have a lot of kids, you know, that live here, but a lot of kids can't go play extracurricular activities because they live too high on the mountain, you know, transportation to and from. So it's a little bit of a different animal when you get out here.
You brought up something earlier, too, when you were talking about the rent for a two-bedroom apartment being $2,500 a month.
Yeah, exactly.
This came up, I think, a year or two ago when we talked to Court about it over in Asheville. He was saying that's going to be – that is a real problem now. It's going to get even worse with just getting people to move here with families just because of the affordability factor. Sure.
When he was talking about it, it was bringing in assistant coaches. You can't afford to pay anybody enough to live here.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know,
and you have to already live here.
You have to already live here. And, you know, it's – and that's what's frustrating is it's hard to find – like, what young person is going to come here and get a start and be ahead of the eight ball? They're not. Because where do you live?
Right.
Yes.
You know, you still got to live. You still got to – you got to pay your car. You got to buy food, and we all know how expensive food is. Yeah. So, you know, when you add all that together, you know, our state doesn't do as a great job of paying their teachers. And, you know, I'm going into my 25th year teaching, and I haven't had a reasonable raise, and I can't even tell you how long. And that's, you know, that's ridiculous.
How do we fix it? How do we pay the coach? You know, you go South Carolina, Georgia.
Yeah. Exactly. So, like, South Carolina – we make more money in North Carolina than South Carolina does. Somehow they pay their coaches triple.
Yeah.
What's up? What's going on?
How do we fix it in North Carolina? How do we pay the coaches and the assistants? I know they passed a bill in Raleigh to pay the assistants a bigger stipend, but, I mean, $3,000, that's not a lot of money.
Well, here's the thing, and I think part of it is I think you need to look at the demands of what we're doing nowadays. You know, most all sports, it's not just football. Most all sports have gone to almost a year-round model.
It's not like you're coaching 3 months a year for hours a day.
Exactly. I mean, it's a year-round commitment. And it's 12 months. So, I mean, give these guys extended contracts. Give them an extra month of teacher pay. You know, give your head coaches 12 months. Give them a healthy stipend and do those types of things. And, you know, that's a start. But until our base teacher salary, I think I was talking to one of y'all at the baseball game. I think it was me. At the baseball game. And, you know, my sister lives down in Atlanta, down in Forsyth County, Atlanta, or Forsyth County, Georgia, just north of Atlanta. And there was a job there that was open, and I was looking at it because my sister was like, hey, you need to look at this job. And I said, okay, I'll look into it. The starting pay – okay, my teacher's salary, just the salary, at 25 years of experience in that county was $82,000.
Before you became a coach?
Before you even got your coaching.
Okay, this is straight out of school starting.
No, 25 years experience.
Okay. But with my experience.
Yeah. Sure.
With my experience, it was almost a $30,000 pay increase just on my teacher's salary to go to that county in Georgia.
I got you.
Now, so... you can talk supplements and all that, but until our state looks at our base salaries and our steps and things like that, there's no reason a 25-year teacher in North Carolina should be making less than $70,000 on their teacher salary.
Well, what's crazy about that, and I got to know one of the kids' math teachers, and the principal there at the time was making like $250,000, $275,000, and this guy was making $35,000 a year.
To teach math.
He just come from the private sector, and he was really enjoying not going, you know, not doing all the stuff that the big finance guys do. He was really enjoying that. But he was like, man, $35,000 is not enough to pay for my apartment.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, when you look at that and you wonder why a lot of coaches are leaving the state, and we've had a lot of good coaches leaving the state, and we're going to have a lot more good coaches leaving the state soon.
Sure.
Because life's too short. And if I've got 10, 15 more years of coaching in me, why wouldn't I go get that monetized a little bit more?
Exactly.
And it's not about money. It's about being fairly compensated for the time and efforts we do put in for these kids. We don't just go home and forget about our job. It's 365. It's on your mind. You know, so if I can go to Georgia and get a $50,000 raise to teach and coach to do the same job I'm doing here, why wouldn't I do that?
And one thing that most people don't realize that aren't involved in sports and all this, like, you're not just a coach. You're not going out here just calling a play, do it, son. I mean, you're a psychologist.
Yep.
A lot of times you're a parent, right? Like, you're a mentor. You're all these things. And that's year-round.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, it's not in our contract when a hurricane hits that I drive to Columbia.
Correct.
To pick up cases and cases of water to bring back to my players so they can try to live. You know, and I'm not saying it because, but that's what we do. We don't ask to do that.
Yes.
But we don't do things. You know, we do things because that's on our heart. That's what we do. That was what we're called to do. Coaches are called to be more than just an X and O guy. Mm-hmm. X's and O's is the easiest part of football. X's and O's is the easiest part of any sport.
Correct.
It's the motivation. It's the culture. It's the all the different intangibles you're trying to get through to these young men and women to help them become productive members.
Yep.
Change topic here real quick. Yeah. Something we've been asking the other coaches too in this change. You know, the wild, wild west that is now college athletics. You know, you've sent, obviously, your son went on to play college ball, but you sent other players up, too, to go play college level. What are you seeing from your standpoint about how is this affecting high school athletics or high school football specifically? I
mean, the traffic is down about 80%. You know, when you think about the recruiters that would come in traditionally, you know, I can remember a day when I couldn't even hardly teach because I'd have a recruiter coming in every – you know, and just coming in to ask about our kids today, they're not doing that as much, you know. I mean, but why would they? Because they can't win playing that game because it's a different game that they're playing right now. You know, they're not going – why risk an 18-year-old right out of high school when you can get a 20-year-old just have 2 years of college experience? Now, people will say, well, those 20-year-olds were 18 at a time. So the way I've been kind of going about it with our kids is like, stop with this D1 dream. We don't have a bunch of D1 kids in our area, okay?
Yeah, you got to do JUCO.
Every now and then, okay, you're going to have a kid like a Max Guest or some kids that do that. But for our kids, I'll tell them, get to D2, get to D3. There's good football there. I mean, my son plays Division II football. It's good football. But get in the system.
Yep.
Then get to a position where you might be able to play the system in your to your advantage. You know, there's a lot of kids that go D2 and transfer up to D1. There's a lot of D1 kids transfer down to D2. But you got to get in the system. The problem is a lot of these coaches aren't even giving you an opportunity to get in the system.
Mm-hmm.
And they're overlooking those kids. And it's frustrating as a coach, but what do you do? I mean, I'm not in control of it. You know, long ago, 15 years ago, the head coach was the middleman between the college coach and the parent. Now, the high school coach just kind of – there'll be kids that'll get contacted by coaches. I've never even talked to coach.
Sure.
You know, I have a kid say, well, coach, I'm going to play here. They offered me a preferred walk-on, and that coach never even called me to talk to them about their character, about their work ethic, nothing.
Don't you think that's an important first call to the head coach, the current
I think
coach?
That is the most important call you
yeah.
make.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
they don't make those calls anymore.
Really?
Not consistently.
From everything you're saying, and we interviewed his son once he did all this, I mean, it seems like social media, all that is the way coaches are going now.
For sure.
Right? We're going to contact you on Instagram, mm-hmm. Twitter, whatever. And like you said, the parents aren't involved. High school coaches aren't involved. The counselor. The counselors aren't involved. There's nobody involved.
No. And to me, I mean, and it's like I've been fortunate in my career. I've coached six kids when I was in Raleigh. I've coached six kids that got opportunities to play in the NFL, okay? And I have probably filled out 25 different team questionnaires that they send out to high school coaches from if a team's looking to sign a kid that you coached in high school or draft them, they send a packet of information to you that they want you to fill out so they can vet those kids all the way back.
Sure.
To their ninth grade year.
Wow.
I filled out those.
That's wild.
That is wild.
But what I'm saying
is. But not for college.
But if you're going to make an investment in something, aren't you going to do your homework?
Well, also, I mean, there's a flip side of that. Most of the coaches in college, maybe they're not making an investment. It's just for this year.
Well, and that goes, to me, that goes back why I said they're playing a different game.
Yeah, sure.
Because now college coaches can't build rosters like they used to.
Correct.
They can't build rosters like they used to. So yeah. It's not like they're going to take an 18-year-old and say, okay, we're going to develop this kid. By the time he's a junior in college, he's going to be our dude. Well, they don't have that luxury anymore. It's win now or get out.
That's right.
And because there's so much money on the line, take all that money out of the equation, and then you'll see it kind of normalize. But until that happens, we're going to continue with this problem.
But now I get that. I do. I understand. If you're a head coach and you've got the pressures on you, I'd even say FCS level and potentially some of the Division II programs. I mean, they got some stud programs up there. You have to go get the guys out of the portal. I understand that from what you just said. It's win now or you're done. And that's all new. That's only been really happening in like the past 3 or 4 years. At some point, that well goes dry because, to your point, what you were making earlier, they're not coming to talk to you guys about upcoming players. I mean, at some point, something's going to break. I mean, it's got
to
give.
It's going to have to. But I think until they take the money, it's not even NIL is not. NIL is not what it is. They can say it's NIL. Name, image, and likeness is.
No, it's paying them to play.
If I sell 1,000 of my college jerseys to somebody, I get a percentage. That's NIL.
Sure.
Name, image, and likeness, okay?
Sure.
If you use my name in a video game, I'm going to get some revenue off of that.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what it's for. It's not for a collective of rich people to put together a $40 million bank and say, oh, you're a quarterback, we're going to pay you $2 million. Yep. That's not NIL.
Yeah, we're ready for a national championship.
That is semi-pro ball.
Yeah, it's paying them to play.
And what we've talked about, a lot of the smaller colleges, maybe they're starting to set up like a single A, double A system like baseball does. And a lot of these small colleges like App State or somebody will be a feeder program to somebody bigger.
But see, that to me, that ruins the whole deal.
Oh, for sure.
Like, to me, it's you know, when you get back to it, you know, you're going to have a lot of mid-major programs. Because I think I read the other day that UMass, Massachusetts, is getting rid of their football program.
Gosh.
And then you got schools like BYU. I mean, the NIL money is flowing over there. They're going to be a big deal in the next few years.
The part you see is the older coaches getting out, the Sabins.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Those guys are like, this is crazy. It's the Wild Wild West.
It is. And to me, it does a disservice to the sport of football.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not about, you know, you go play. It's not about your duties and obligations anymore, you know, to go in. It used to be a big deal to have a college coach want you. Mm-hmm. That used to be a privilege. Now it's almost like it is an expectation. It's like they're paying kids to come and go on visits.
Wow.
What are you talking about?
Wow.
Like, you're paying a kid to go on a visit. Like, okay, then I'm not paying you to come on a visit. I'm not doing that.
Sure.
But I understand where they're coming from. They got these alumni that are putting dollars in their pockets. You got to play the game, you know. But I would think a lot of coaches have had to just totally adjust their philosophies on what they do. You have to make concessions on what you used to hold important and value because of the way it is now.
Sure.
And that's why they're hiring GMs to control this so they can just coach.
Yeah, but even then, it's, you know, Nick Saban could have coached another 10 years.
Yes. Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
If the whole system doesn't change.
Yeah.
So do you see that trickling into high school where we're like, hey, all the good kids are going here. This is where the college guys are coming. They're going to give us a little bit of money, you know.
Does it
ever trickle down to because you already see them moving around.
Yeah.
Even within this county.
Yeah.
Moving around to Reynolds, to Irwin, to Asheville. They're moving around.
If it gets that complicated, I will go and I will take my boat and I will go to the coast somewhere and I'll just watch it on TV. Yeah.
But everything kind of trickles down, so it's not crazy to say it could happen.
It's not crazy to say it could happen, but somebody's got to get a handle on this thing because, you know, it's – the other part of it is, too, and you look at it, I mean, you go anywhere anymore. You can't just take a family of 4 or 5 to a ball game anymore and not spend $1,000.
You're right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like true. You're pricing the best part of your fan base out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's becoming some wild event, like the Kentucky Derby. Like the haves and have-nots can go and do that stuff. And listen, I like the Kentucky, but what I'm saying, the people that get to do all the Kentucky Derby stuff aren't me and you.
Sure. Yeah.
Lewis does wear a funny-looking hat sometimes.
That's true.
I did get Lewis to the Keeneland racetrack in Lexington, Kentucky.
There you go.
And he won money.
Which is fantastic.
There you go.
That was a great day.
But it's frustrating because there's so much money involved, and now it's like, you know, it used to be fun to go and take kids, you know, go down to a ball game somewhere and have an opportunity to go to a national championship game. Well, you're going to come off $1,800 a ticket for a national championship game.
And that's way up top.
That's what I'm saying.
That's Pap Holman.
But what are we doing? You know, it makes no sense. It makes no sense.
It doesn't. No, you're right.
You know, I look at the Savannah Bananas. Y'all know who they are.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
$25 ticket.
Yep.
They feed you for free.
And you can't find a ticket for sale.
You can't.
Sold out.
We went a couple years ago. We got tickets. My sister-in-law lives in Savannah. I would tell anybody to go do that.
Sure.
It is a great time. And you go, you pay your ticket, you go in there, and you can go get you a sack of burgers for free and feed your whole family. They serve everybody free.
Really?
Wow.
Yep. They have concessions if you want to buy stuff. But when you get there, they got guys in there whipping dogs and burgers around. You say, I need a sack of 20 burgers. They give you a sack of 20 burgers, popcorn, take it back, and you give it to your family. It's free.
Wow.
That's awesome.
But you know what's funny? It's sell out everywhere. But they said it's about the fan experience.
That's exactly
yeah.
right.
You know?
Yeah. And it's fantastic. It's fun to watch.
We're getting away from that.
We are.
We're getting away from that.
Oh, we're definitely getting away from that.
So just to change the subject just a little bit, you talked earlier, we saw you at the Robertson baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
Robertson, fantastic baseball program, fantastic soccer program. Are you finding it harder to get kids to play more than one sport? There's some big baseball players I'd like to see on your football field.
Me too. me too. You know, we've it's been hit or miss. It depends. I wish we had some more of those kids that would come out and play. Now, we're fortunate, you know, we'll get some of our soccer kids come out and kick for us and do some things like that. And I've become really, really good friends with Coach Philipek with the baseball program. He wants his kids to play football too, you know. But it's just one of those things that's, you know, baseball is such an odd duck when it comes. I mean, you got – they play more baseball than anything.
They play year-round. They play that stuff all the time.
I've never seen that. Football is the only sport we can't play year-round.
Right.
You're right.
You know, when you think about it. So
there's no travel football.
No, there's no – well, they try to be.
Ugh, but it didn't work out.
That's a mess in itself, you know. In a society where we want to keep people safe, but let's take a 12-year-old to Knoxville and play five full contact games in one weekend.
Right.
That makes no sense. Right. You know, so – but it's like, you know – we're there. You know, being at TC is a great place. I work with great teachers, great administration. I have great coaches, but it's just a different type of culture.
It is,
and I'm not saying it's bad or good. It's just it's not the football culture. Now, is it better than it was when I got here? Yes, and we're trying to make it better every year. But you know, obviously, we want to win our conference championship. We want to do those things. We've been in those games several times in my last 9 years. You know, we've competed. You know, a lot of times it's come down to us and Reynolds that last game. Now, you know, they've gotten us every time. It is what it is. But consistently, we've been at a higher competitive level than ever any other 10-year period in TC Robertson history. But we're still not there yet, you know. And I may not be the one that gets it there. Maybe somebody else comes in after me after we've established this. But since I've gotten here, I feel like we've played a much more physical brand of football. Our kids have gotten tougher. You know, they've gotten more competitive. You know, we redid our weight room last year. You know, so we've done a lot of really good things. And you know, when I started my career as a head coach, I never thought that I would be one that would want to go in and rebuild programs. I thought I'd be, you know, like my old coach was, go to a town, be there for 30 years and ride off the sunset.
Sure.
That's not what God was like. That's not what's going to be for you. We want you to try to go and make places better. And that's what I enjoy doing. I want to go in and try to make places better and show them a different, maybe a better way to do things. And I feel like we've done that here. We just haven't got over that hump yet. You know, we've been there, we just haven't got right there yet, man. I don't know that we ever will here, but we're going to keep trying.
Sure.
Coach, you got anything else you want to bring up that we haven't brought up or asked you?
No, guys. I mean, I really enjoy enjoy talking with you guys the last couple years. You know, I think it's good for people to kind of get some insight on some folks and put a spotlight on our programs out here in the mountains. You know, we get forgotten a lot of times.
For sure.
But I'll go to my grave saying wherever I end up down the road, you know, I feel like we play a great brand of football in the mountains. I feel like we've got so many great coaches out here, not just football, but all around.
Yeah.
And we've got great people. And, you know, Hurricane Helene, what it did to our community, you know, a lot of communities would struggle with that. But, you know, I can't tell you how awesome it's been to watch our community as a whole really push through that. And, I mean, it's awesome to be able to have seen that.
And for this community, it was so important to get football back.
Oh, my gosh,
for
yes.
sure. For sure. I mean,
because Asheville's a bigger city now. But even these smaller towns, football is so important in this area.
It is. I mean, it's so important. I mean, it's a fabric of what we do.
Yes.
And, you know, I think, you know, we go back to talking about coaches' pay and things like that. More decision makers need to really sit back and evaluate and understand the impact that high school athletics has on young men and women.
Yeah.
And
over their life.
Over their lifetime. And until somebody really takes a good hard look at that and understands that there is a lot more value than we're giving, than we're recognizing, I think that's going to, you know, until that somebody has, you know, the heart to do that, we're going to continue to struggle. And, you know, there's going to come a time in the next 5 or 6 years that a lot of faces that have been around for a long time are no longer around. And then what are we going to do?
Yeah.
And I don't want to see it go that way. I want to see these communities continue to thrive long after I'm gone and long after, you know, some of these other coaches that I've gotten really close with the last several years. When we're gone, we want to continue to see it thrive because, you know, I raised my kids here in this community.
Absolutely.
You know, we moved here when my oldest son was 6. We moved here for a reason, to raise our family, our kids in this community. And this community's near and dear to my heart, always will be, no matter where I go. I'm not from here, but I've been here long enough to be a big part of it. And, you know, I'm blessed to be where I'm at. I'm blessed to be around such great people and great community. And, you know, it'll always be a special place in my heart, no matter where I end up down the road.
So, Coach, what's the craziest thing you've ever seen on the football field?
Well,
he started with, well, I'm ready for this one.
Well, it's not a good one. It's more of a, the scariest thing I ever saw was a kid have a heart issue.
Oh, sure. Oh, wow.
And we were, I want to say it was 2010. We were doing a jamboree at our place. It was us, Cary High School. I think it was Southern Durham and, I can't remember who the other school was. And we were sitting there scrimmaging, and a kid fell down. He's 15 years old, fell on the ground. And I had to watch my team doctor and do the CPR and AED on him right there on the field. Now, he lived, thank God.
Yeah.
But that was the craziest thing that's ever happened to me as a coach. And, you know, it was just a blessing that the kid survived, but he had one of those underlying heart conditions.
They didn't know about it.
Mm. And, you know, it was one of those things. It's like, oh, thank, you know, we're sitting there praying, everybody's crying. And it was, you know, you have 200 football players on the field and that's going on, you know, getting that. We called the scrims down. We're like, everybody's going home because we've had too much.
I was about to say practice had to be over.
The jamboree was over.
Yeah.
And, you know, but, that was the craziest thing that I've ever been a part of, and just having to be there to, you know, to support my kids and to do all that kind of stuff. You know, it was it'll test you in ways that you hope not to be tested. But fortunately, we had great first responders that came in and did that, and man, it ended up being a blessing. But there for a while, it was touch and go, and we were really worried about it.
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah.
Well, Hunter Huss is your first game up, right?
Yes, sir.
So that'll be here before we know it.
Yes, sir.
And it'll be exciting. It'll be good to see this season.
Oh, we hope so. We hope it goes the way we want it to.
Well, thank you, Coach, for joining us today.
Thank
Coach Dinwiddie at T.C. Robertson High School.
Thank you, Coach.
And, we thank you for your time. And then we've also got anything else lined up coming up for the podcast?
Next coach we have, new ACA coach George Johnson coming in.
Indeed, George Johnson. That'll be a good conversation. The other thing, too, just to put a reminder out there to to the other coaching staffs and ADs, in case you're listening, if you're running live streams and you've got the NFHS Network or you've got Huddle, we've got a crew that knows how to operate those things. So if you want to have some announcers maybe do one of your games or some of your games, reach out to us. We can probably see if we can set something up and get that going for you. So I guess that's it. So, right?
Yep.
Thank you.
Till next time.
Thanks, Coach. Thank you.